Good morning, Peninsula Hope family. I hope you guys are having a blessed week. It has been an interesting week with all the smoke in the sky. I know there was one day I woke up and I thought I had way overslept because it was still so dark outside. And so I hope it hasn't thrown you off too much. Hopefully your breathing is okay. Let me open us up in some prayer. Lord Jesus, we love you so much, Lord. And as we continue looking at your word, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to me and through me, Lord, as we look at the things that can strengthen our faith and belief in you, Lord, especially with all that is going on in the world, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you would guide me through this as we take a look at our belief, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen. So we are concluding our Beyond Belief series this week, and over the past month or so, we have looked at four different strategies that can help us to strengthen our belief, and hopefully by utilizing or continuing to do those strategies, when tough times, tough situations come up, we won't waver in our faith, and in fact, hopefully we will strengthen our faith during those times. Week one, we looked at the company that we keep, the people that are surrounding us, those huge influences in our life. Then we looked at being careful of what we're exposed to. What is it that we are reading, that we're listening to, that we are watching, that's getting into our brains and ultimately into our hearts? Then we talked about seeking other Christians and places outside of church, whether it's at work, it's at school, maybe it's different social functions, and how that can help us to strengthen one another. And then last week, Pastor Emily talked about creating an emotional connection to our belief in God so we can strengthen our belief in Him. And when we started this series, I talked about belief being the truth about who God is, or who Jesus is, and what he did, and why we needed him to do it. And then there's also a trusting component, and that's trusting our lives to God, his plan for us, and his direction that he wants us to go. And so this week we are going to be talking about a final strategy that I believe is really the most important, and probably the one that will strengthen our belief the most. I think most of you are familiar with the children's story, The Little Engine That Could. And if you don't remember, for those that have maybe never heard of it, let me give you a little recap. So there is this train, and there's different versions of the story, but the one that I saw most recently was a train full of toys and fun foods for Christmas or some holiday. And this train needed to get over a mountain. And so as this train was starting to go and these freight cars are full of all these toys, it started to break down. It started having issues. And so the train engine was no longer able to pull the freight cars across or over the mountain. And so the freight trains, and they all have personalities in this children's story, they start looking for other engines that could help them. They look at really big, strong train engines and ones that are really fast, but none of them have the time. None of them care to help them, all except for this little engine. And this little engine, it was one that stayed in the train yards. It would pull other trains around, but it wouldn't go very far. But this was the train that said, I want to help you guys. I want to get you guys over this mountain. And so the little engine started pulling this heavy freight trains over the mountain. And as it was going up, things started to get harder and harder because things were so heavy. And this was just a little train engine. But at some point on this journey up the mountain, the little train engine started saying to itself, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And as it was doing that, it started really going from its head into its heart. And eventually was able to pull the train over the mountain. And so through that belief that it had, through that repetition of that belief, it did something so incredible, so unthinkable. It pulled this heavy freight train over this mountain, and it did something so special. It helped those little kids get the gifts and the food that they want. And it's interesting that similar to this little engine, the Bible tells us that the ancient Israelites, they also understood the power of repeating what you believe. And they use repetition to ingrain two of the most important beliefs or truths in all of Judaism. The first one is that there is only one God. And the second one is the command that we are to love God with all of our being. These beliefs are found in Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. So Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today, they are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and on your gates." Verses 4 through 5 are known as the Shema, and Shema means to hear. And it is one of the most important prayers in all of Judaism, and it's spoken daily, often in the morning and the evening. In fact, in my second year of Hebrew, we had to memorize the Shema because it is so central, it's so important. As you look at verses 6 through 9, it explains the command and the extent of that repetition to teach the Shema. Let me repeat that again. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hand and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." These verses are saying that what is believed about God can't remain in our head. We can't just think about them. We need to get them into our hearts. So these truths, these beliefs about God, they need to be taught with diligence. And these beliefs, they need to be repeated constantly. When people are sitting in their house, when they're just talking, when they're walking around down the path in their house, wherever they're going, when they get up in the morning and when they go to bed, repetition of these beliefs needs to take place. And then we see that it says that these beliefs, they need to be tied, they need to be bound to your hands and to your foreheads. And in all likelihood, those statements about the binding to the hands and then the forehead, they were supposed to be taken as figuratively. But many Orthodox Jewish men, they wear some called a tefillin or phylacteries. And these are black little leather boxes with leather straps that are worn on your hand, I believe it's the right hand, or they're tied around your forehead. And these are ways, they're remembrances, so they're symbolic. You may also see Jewish households place something called a mezuzah, which is a small little metal receptacle, and it has a Shema in it. It's on the right doorway of their house. So they are showing their belief and their trust in God, and it's a repetition, it's a reminder. And the bottom line is that the Israelites knew that to strengthen their belief in God, they had to repeat those beliefs to them on a daily basis and at all times. That's because they knew that there is incredible power in repetition. Science, social psychology, it tells us that repetition, it's the key to the learning process, as it helps to transition skills or beliefs from the conscious to the subconscious. There's a quote that was attributed to Aristotle, the philosopher, that said, it is frequent repetition that produces a natural tendency. And we have to understand that repetition, it leads to familiarity, and this is so central in developing a belief. I have another quote, I have a couple for you that I found that I thought fit really well today. This one was by Muhammad Ali. He said, "It's the repetition of affirmations that lead to belief. And once that belief becomes a deep conviction, things begin to happen." And that's so significant when we're looking at what can strengthen our belief in God. But what researchers tell us is that there's also a downside to repetition. One researcher said, repeated misinformation can get embedded into our minds. That makes it really hard to let go of. Franklin Roosevelt said, repetition does not transform a lie into a truth. So we need to be careful what information, what influence we have on us. And that goes back to the sermon about what we're exposed to. Because again, repeating a lie doesn't make it true. So what is it exactly that Christians, as believers in God, what is it that we need to repeat to ourselves about our belief in God? Well, one, we need to repeat the truth about Jesus, who Jesus is, the truth about what he did for us, and again, the truth of why we needed him to do that. And then we also need to repeat that we can trust God. And this is that faith component of our Christianity. We can trust his word. We can trust his promises. And we can trust his love for us. But just repeating these Christian truths and beliefs, it's not enough. For example, I can be at the church building, and every day I can walk by the fire alarms in the church. In fact, I can look at the fire alarms. I can stare at them. But here's the thing. If we had a test and you asked me, Andrew, where are all the fire alarms in the church? Honestly, I couldn't tell you. And that's because it's not enough just to repeat things. We need to have intentionality in our repetition. That's to say that we need to have reminders of what we believe. Then we need to remember and recall what we believe. And then finally, we need to recognize what we believe. There's a lot of R's there, but it shows the intentionality. So in the case of the fire alarms, if I knew there was a test coming, I would really start to think about it. Or if I was making a chart of an escape route in case there was a fire and I needed to know where all of the fire alarm locations were, I'm putting a lot of intentionality into that. And we need to do the same thing with our beliefs. We can't just repeat them. We need to be intentional. We need reminders. We need to recognize and remember and recall. So how do we do this? Well, number one, we have to study the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 in the NASB says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. And I love how the King James Version says it. It says, study to show yourself approved. We need to read the Bible. We need to study it. We need to memorize it. And we need to apply it. Again, we need that intentionality in what we believe. We need to listen to sermons. Romans 10, verses 13 through 17 in the NASB says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I love that. It shows the importance of listening to sermons, to listening to teaching. Because by hearing the word of God, that's where our faith is developed. We need to find accountability partners or an accountability partner. James 5 verses 19 through 20 in the NASB says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, Let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. It's such a blessing to have someone that can hold you accountable. It isn't always easy, but it helps you from that slippery slope of sin. But you have to be open to it. You have to be open to someone challenging you, to someone calling you out, to saying, you know, what are you doing? This might not be the right decision that you're making. And it's a reciprocal thing when you have an accountability partner. It works both ways. And then we need to share and show our Christian beliefs with the world. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, again, the NASB says, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." That's known as a Great Commission. That is what Christians are supposed to do. And then I love what Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, again, the NASB says. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So as Christians, we need to let our light shine. Why? Because it gives glory to God. That is another way that we repeat what we believe. Again, something that strengthens our faith. We have to get to the point where our faith, through intentional repetition, it develops a muscle memory. It's just like when someone's learning to ride a bike. Through intentional repetition, most people, they learn how to ride a bike pretty well. And here's what's so incredible about muscle memory, that if someone falls, if someone takes a break from riding their bike, that muscle memory, it helps them to get right back on track on riding that bike the way they did before. And the other interesting thing about muscle memory is that it helps us to identify if we're not riding the bike correctly. For example, if you're sitting on the handlebars, because you have muscle memory, you'll know that's probably not the way to steer a bike. And we want to get our belief in Jesus, our belief in God, to be the same. That it's second nature. Even if something comes up, if we have some struggles, if we backslide a bit, that it's not too hard to get back on track. And if we hear things or if we see things that are not of God, we'll be able to identify those things because they just don't feel right. But that comes from repetition. So I want to end with this. I want to encourage you to start being intentional about repeating your Christian beliefs. I want to encourage you to consider if you need to implement any of the five strategies that we've talked about. Do you need to think about the people you're surrounded by? Those maybe in your inner circle. Are they the best ones to be giving you advice? Do you need to change the things that you're exposing yourselves to? Is something maybe having a negative or sinful influence on you? And that's something that needs to be removed. Or are things pretty good the way they are? Do you need to find more Christian relationships outside of the church? Again, it's easy to connect with Christians in church, but what do you do when you're at school, when you're at work? Those 6 days, maybe 5 days that you aren't involved in something at church. Do you need to form an emotional connection to your belief? Do you need to say, "Lord, thank you so much, Lord, for my life, for the blessings you've given me," because those are the things that strengthen your belief in God. And again, repeating what you believe. I want to encourage you this week to look at those five things. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for who you are, what you've done. And Lord, you knowing that we needed you, Lord, I pray that if there is anyone out there that is struggling in their faith, struggling in their belief, Lord Jesus, in you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would burden their hearts to go back and to repeat what they've learned about you. I pray that if there are those that are being affected in a negative way by their surroundings, Lord, that you would connect them with more Christians, that you would help them to make the necessary changes. Lord, I pray for our world, for our country, and those who are struggling at this moment, Lord. Thank you so much that we can come and pray to you, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. We love you guys. Stay encouraged, and we'll see you soon.